Stewardship is partnership with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about stewarding God's resources.
God says there's two ways that you can praise me. One is with your lips, the sacrifice of your lips, and one is with your communication through contribution. And so we praise God when we sing, yes, and we ought to praise Him all the day long. And we praise God when we give. How many of you believe that God's people should praise Him through our giving? Almost as many as through our singing.
Stewardship is an act of worship, an expression of faith, and a discipline for spiritual growth. In our series, The Stewardship Principles of Jesus, Pastor Chappell shows us how to steward the resources God has entrusted in our care. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Many Christians find it difficult to practice generosity. Today, we invite you to journey with Jesus through Scripture to see the reasons for giving, the discipline of giving, and the motivation of giving. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called The Heart of Giving.
Look in your notes at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit." That means we remind you of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That is one of the strangest verses in the Bible. They had a trial of affliction, and yet in the midst of their affliction, they had an abundance of joy, which led to the riches of their liberality. People that were afflicted, people that had little in joy, still gave to the Lord. In fact, verse 3 says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." So what we see in the widow and what we see in the Macedonian believers, we see people who didn't focus on what they didn't have, but they focused on the God who they believed to be their provider. And instead of having an entitlement idea, they had the idea of, how can I worship my God? How can I give to my God? You see, God will use these times to strengthen our faith in Him. And so we see a contrast of believers. We see the rich men who, for the show and the noise of it, came and did something that was for all the wrong reasons. But we see a widow woman who came, who could have come simply asking. She had every right to hope for something, but instead she came giving the very best that she could give. How many of you, when you read that story, it's a little bit humbling. It is humbling for me to think of the spirit of this woman and what she did. The contrast of givers. Notice, secondly, the comments of the Savior. The comments of the Savior. Now, quite frankly, our comments mean very little, but I'd like to know what Jesus thought about this, wouldn't you? Notice what Jesus says in verse 3. It says, "And He said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." Now, notice His comments regarding the widow's offering. Regarding the widow's offering, He says, "Of a truth, most certainly, this woman has cast in more than they all." This woman wanted to communicate her love to God. This woman was determined that she would have a part in this outer court, women's court, offering unto her God. And the Bible speaks of how we can communicate. In Hebrews 13 and 15, it says this, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him." That's why a moment ago we said, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." How many of you believe Christians ought to praise God? All right. How many of you believe Christians ought to have a positive spirit, a thankful spirit for what God has done? How many believe that's biblical? All right, so Hebrews 13, 15 is biblical. We ought to sacrifice praise to God. Verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The word communicate or koinonia speaks of a gift jointly contributed, a collection or a contribution. And so God says, there's two ways that you can praise me. One is with your lips, the sacrifice of your lips. And one is with your communication through contribution. And so we praise God when we sing, yes, and we ought to praise Him all the day long. And we praise God when we give. How many of you believe that God's people should praise Him through our giving? Amen. Almost as many as through our singing. Boy, I believe in praising God through singing, but the Bible says we ought to communicate with Him through our giving as well. Now, this is what I believe. I believe that woman, when she came to the treasury, I can't tell you that she was singing, but I just have a sense, having pastored some people like this woman, that there was great joy in her heart when she put her 1/5 of a man's salary in that box. I really believe she was so happy that she could do that. She was so happy that she could give to the Lord. She was continually offering her praise, no doubt. But today, she got to give to the Lord. You see, man's extremity is God's opportunity. She didn't have a lot, and now she was giving all that she had, but she would trust the Lord to provide for her need, and she believed that God would take care of her. And so Jesus comments, and He says, of a truth, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. But notice His comments regarding the rich men's offering. He says in verse 4, these have of their abundance cast in, she of her penury cast in all that she hath. Now, here we see of their abundance. You know what that means. It means of their excess. It means of their leftover. It means from that which did not inconvenience them in any way. And by the way, Jesus, on the last act publicly of His ministry, His last act was to watch this. His last act and comments were to comment about this. The narrative will completely change as He goes forward and as we see His crucifixion. But He is watching this widow woman and commenting to us 2,000 years later about what had taken place. I love the quote from Pentecost here, from Dwight Pentecost. Notice the quote in your notes. It says, the gifts of the wealthy brought no comment from Jesus, for He knew the hypocrisy in their heart. They were giving to be seen by people. Such gifts are unacceptable to God. But His gaze was riveted by a solitary figure. His gaze was riveted by a solitary figure. In other words, as Jesus watches this event in the temple, He sees what many had seen for hundreds of years. Men who with the wrong heart, the Pharisees, just doing what they were going to do. But then His focus was riveted on this woman who had this spirit of sacrifice for her Lord. And I believe that Jesus took note of this woman's worship. And I believe the same Jesus who goes to and fro across the earth, the same Jesus who saw this little widow woman, will observe and does observe our worship for Him. Hey, if He knows the hairs on our head, He knows also about our life and our giving and our service to Him. Amen. And so we see the contrast of givers. We see the comments of the Savior. But notice thirdly this morning, the commendation of the sacrifice. Now notice the commendation that He makes. He says, she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Now it is from this woman that we learn the heart of true worship to God. And I often wonder, how does the pure-hearted person give? And here we see an example of it. And I want you to take note of this, because this woman did not give attention. She didn't give attention to how the rich gave or didn't give. She did not come into the temple. It was not about what other people did to her. That wasn't the focus of it. And a sure way to lose your blessing in giving is to focus on what others do or don't do. A sure way to get discouraged in the Christian life is to worry about someone else. Listen, this woman had one concern when she went to the temple, and that was her heart for God. Amen? That was what it was all about. It wasn't about what other people dressed, how they dressed. It wasn't about what other people did. She had one concern, and that was her worshiping her God, her giving to her God. Romans 14:12 says it very clearly. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us are going to stand before God. And this woman recognized that this was very personal between her and her God. So notice the commendation that we see in the scripture for her. First of all, her giving was sacrificial giving. Her giving was sacrificial giving. Notice in verse 4 where the Bible tells us, but she of her penury, that means of her poverty or of her destitution, hath given, notice what it says again, hath given all or cast in all the living, or has given her livelihood. In other words, she didn't have this as spare change. This was what was needed for her living, for her meals, for her sustenance. And Jesus said, wow, this was a sacrificial gift that was offered. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, concerning those churches at Macedonia, this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I heard of a chaplain that went in one day to a soldier that was on a cot in a hospital. When he went in to see the soldier, he said, you have lost your arm in a great cause, son. And the soldier looked up at the chaplain. He said, no, I have given my arm in a great cause. You see, if you approach the matter of giving like, well, I'm going to lose this, you don't understand what laying up treasure in heaven really even is all about. This woman was not losing something. She was giving something to the Lord. A carnal man views giving as, well, I'm going to lose this. The spiritual man says, man, I am glad I get to give this to the Lord for his work and for eternity. And so she recognized that it was a privilege to give. I remember coming to Lancaster, and Terry and I had saved up some money and saved up a few $1,000s, we thought one day, for buying a house or something. And I remember taking that money, and we came down with our Ryder truck. We rented the truck. We paid first and last month's deposit on an apartment. And we went to our old auditorium there at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard, and we painted the whole place white. It was green. The paint was peeling off the walls. The carpet was taped. The tile was breaking up. And boy, we cleaned and pulled weeds and did everything we could to kind of get going. And sure enough, after just a few weeks, we had completely run out of money. And we had taken all that we had to get the ministry started. I remember going into the printers, Hart Printers, and I remember saying to Mr. Hart, I said, sir, I need to have some gospel tracts. We didn't have computers back then. I designed a track on a 8.5 by 11 yellow paper, and I showed it to him. And I said, I'd like you, if you would, to take this gospel track and print it for us. And I said, I'd like to get about 5,000. I said, sir, I can't pay you any money for this, but if you'll print these 5,000 tracts, I'll come back in 30 days and I'll pay you for these tracts. He kind of scratched his head. He said, well, all right, why not? And he printed up the tracts. I went out door knocking, inviting people to church, knocking on 500 doors a week for those first 16 months, inviting people to Lancaster Baptist Church. 30 days later, I went back and paid Mr. Hart, and we became one of their best customers until they closed business and we went to work with someone else. But you know, in those early days, it was just simply about faith. And ladies and gentlemen, it's quite a different story in the sense of the magnitude of the project. But may I say to you that we are involved in a great faith effort today, just as we were in those very early days. And we have learned that ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing for God. And oh, how we need to be willing, those of us who've been involved for perhaps decades, to say, Lord, use me again. Help me to have this spirit today as I did even yesterday. This was the heart of the woman. She recognized that she had a privilege to offer from her livelihood to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one this morning is saying, give everything that you have, deplete everything that you have, like the widow woman. But what we are saying is, we ought to have the same spirit of sacrifice to say, you know what, I don't want to just throw in some chump change. I want to be able to say, God, from my heart, I want to do something from which you see my faith and trust that you will provide again for me, just like you did for the widow woman. Her giving was a sacrificial giving. Notice, secondly, her giving was personal. I don't know how much more personal you could get than this woman got. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, we read it a moment ago, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Would you say that phrase with me? Ready, begin. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. All right, let's have the ladies say it. Ready, begin. Every man according as he, so let him. All right, fellas, here we go. Speak up. Every man according as he, so. In other words, it's a personal thing. It doesn't say some. It says everyone. And it says as you purpose in your heart. This is something that between this woman and God, there was something purposed before she ever walked into that temple. She had decided that she was going to take this which God had given to her. She had purpose in her heart, even as the rich men had decided, yeah, I'll throw in some change and let it rattle around for the show of it. This woman had purpose in her heart that she would give. This ought to be something, husbands and wives, that you pray about and talk about and get involved in. Sweetheart, what are we going to do? Oh, let's have a part of this personally. And teenagers and young people ought to say, I want to have a part in the work of God. You see, my friends, money is so intimately related to the possessor that you cannot give money without giving a part of yourself. That's why no one ever just stops coming to church before they stop giving a long time before. Maybe 2-3 years before you see them stop attending church. But somewhere along the line, there's a disconnect in their heart and it is reflected in their giving, because when we give, we're giving a part of ourself to the Lord. I remember a woman that was in the church when I first came to pastor. And her name was Clara Doherty. And some of you might remember Clara that were in that early group. Clara, even at that time, as I was in my mid-20s, she was already in her 80s. And I remember one Sunday night getting up, boy, I was preaching away and just really sharing with my heart with the church family about serving and soul winning, and let's see this church built to the glory of God. I think there might have been 40 people there, and I was just preaching away and encouraging everyone to get involved, as we wanted Lancaster Baptist Church to really do what God wanted us to do in this community. And I, at the invitation time, I said, let's have a time of prayer and pray for our church and dedicate ourselves to serve the Lord. And I will never forget that Sunday night, maybe 4 or 5 months into it, when Clara walked up to me and she kind of walked bowed over up the aisle, and she looked me right in the eyes as she took my hand. And this is what she said. She said, Pastor, I can't do much, but I can pray and I can pay. And until the day she died, that's exactly what she did. She prayed and she paid. And I happen to believe that there is a God in heaven who saw that woman. I happen to believe that many of us may be behind her in line at the judgment seat of Christ, because I believe God saw her heart and God saw her sacrifice and God saw that she made it personal. And we're here today, seated here today, because of the faith of people like Clara Doherty, who said, I'm going to do the very best that I can do for my Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the widow, her giving was sacrificial, it was personal. And then I want you to see this, it was pleasing to Christ. It was pleasing to Christ. Now Jesus says, essentially in verse 4, these other men just kind of threw in from their abundance, but this woman, she did the very best that she could. And how many of you, as you read this, how many of you get the sense, you know what, I believe Jesus was pleased with that widow woman's offering, amen? I believe Jesus saw that and he observed it and he commented. How many of you believe the Bible's the infallible, inspired Word of God? And God in his infallible Word gives this commendation. And he wants us to know, hey, I was pleased with that lady, with what she did. And the Bible says that we can please God. Let me ask you this simple question. Do you want to please the Lord with your life? You ought to want to please him every day of your life. Let me show you a passage that we can claim in Philippians chapter 4. Notice the passage in your notes. It says, now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, there's that word again, communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And Paul said, listen, when I was on these missionary journeys, you were the church that sent financially to help with this. You sent time and again to meet those needs. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift. Paul said, look, I'm not writing to you because I desire something personally, he says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But then look at verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus these things which were sent from you. Watch this now. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. This means that the offering that was sent from the Philippian church was a sacrifice that pleased God. Let me tell you, my friend, just like the widow woman pleased God, and just like the Philippians were well-pleasing to God when they sent this sacrifice, you and I are well-pleasing to God when from a pure heart we offer unto Him. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, this offering that you've given, it's like a sweet smell up into heaven. It's like the incense flowing up heavenly. And he says, it has been well-pleasing to God that you have been a part of this. Oh, what a privilege that we as believer priests can offer the praise of our lips, can offer the praise of our life, can offer in our offerings to the Lord something that some men may make a cynical comment about, but to you and to me, it is personal, it is pure, it is real, it is a way to say, Lord, I love you. And God says, when you give out of a loving heart, you communicate to me like this. It's a sweet-smelling savor. It's a wonderful sacrifice to me. When people say, Lord, I'm here today personally to tell you that I love you. And God commends that spirit of giving. Nobody doubts the widow's offering pleased God. Her heart was so evident and obvious as she came into the treasury, as she could have been one to say, gimme, gimme, gimme. She said, no, God, you have done so much for me. What can I do for you? How can I show my love for you? Two things I want you to see, and then we're done. First, this woman did not give money in order to go to heaven. She was not doing what she did with some desperate plea, hoping she would get to heaven. She wasn't buying indulgences like they did in the Middle Ages. She wasn't somehow trying to manipulate God. In fact, notice what it says in 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hey, giving gold and silver or dollars doesn't buy your sin off. It doesn't buy you into heaven. The Bible says we are not redeemed by giving. We are redeemed by His giving of His blood on the cross of Calvary. We don't give so that we can go to heaven. I feel sorry for people in churches that feel like, boy, I better get married in the church, buried in the church, dedicated in the church. I better go there on Christmas and Easter. I better do this. I better do that because I want to be able to have some priest or pastor someday say, now, with your last rites, you're up into heaven. I got to tell you something, my friend. My eternal destiny is not resting in the statement of some priest giving some kind of last rites. My eternal destiny is resting in the statement of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, who said, it is finished. I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that makes giving so much more wonderful, because I'm not giving because I hope I might gain favor with God. I'm giving because I already have favor with God. I'm giving out of a heart of gratitude to my Lord. We don't give so that we hope we go to heaven. She gave because she loved the Lord. The book of 2 Corinthians says, the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ constraineth us. And may we learn today from our little visit to the temple that there were 13 boxes, that there was an opportunity, and that even then there were those who gave for the wrong reasons. But thank God for the lesson we learned from the widow lady who gave with a pure heart. May we worship God with a pure heart.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled, Strengthen Your Hands, How Godly Leaders Remain Strong in the Work of the Lord. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.